Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called The Power Half Hour. And as always, we start with the verbal fitness sessions that with Ronald Evergy, where we take you through a workout. Thereafter, there'll be a Q&A discussion. Today, we're discussing detox. Then coming up at 1:45, we'll be joined by Ridwan Osman. He's an educational kinesiology expert, and he'll be talking about acupressure. So that's coming up in the program. If you've got any questions for Ronald or for Ridwan, you can send them via SMS to 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548 or Twitter at EJAZ_K. It's time to welcome Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother?
Yes, alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, excited to, as always, help the listeners get fit, get healthy, and give you right information regarding the detox topic.
Brilliant stuff. So we're all set for the workout. I'm wondering if today you've got another special put together, as you have in terms of the house and gardening workout. What do you have in store for us today?
Well, today's workout is related to playing with your kids.
Okay.
You know, and to bring on board what games could you play with your kids, and that's the workout we're going to do today. So we're going to give you options for different ages of kids today and really involve them in your workouts, because the example that you set from an exercise perspective is the example they're going to incorporate into their lifestyles, understand and believe that my parents, my mommy and dad do this, I can do this too, and I want to do this.
Nice.
And we want to empower them with health and fitness from a young age.
Perfect stuff. So let's get straight into that workout, Ronald.
All right, so the warm-up is basically, you know, back in the old days, we used to play Ollie. Remember,
yeah.
Ollie?
Yes, right, of course.
For the modern people out there, for the millennials, it's called tag.
Okay, tag.
So what I want you now to do is, you know, if you're by yourself, I want you to choose a spot about 5 meters from you. And all you're going to do is run to the spot, tag it, and run back to your spot. And you imagine that's your kid that you're playing with. You know, they're going to run around, and you're going to try to tag them, and you're going to run away, and they're going to try to tag you. And you play that for literally 60 seconds. But in the 60 seconds now, we're going to imagine a spot somewhere on the couch, a wall, on the floor, and you're going to run to that spot, touch it, and run back. And that's what you're going to be doing. So for 60 seconds, you go with that. So run, touch, run, touch, run, and touch. And this way, it's cardiovascular, it's high intense, because you're literally sprinting, running around, looking, moving side to side, and playing with your child. And you know what? You're not going to realize 60 seconds flies by, because then they must chase you, then you've got to run again.
Yes.
So that's the first part of this workout.
Okay.
And like I said, without the child around you, choose a spot, and you're running backwards and forwards from the spot, and you're running forward as quickly as you can, and backwards very slowly, so you don't pull any hamstring muscles or anything else of the sort. That's the first game we're going to be playing today. The second game, moving on with the second, and I'm calling it games because exercise, like we always say, should be fun.
Yes.
So the second one we're going to be playing is hide and seek. And with hide and seek, I want you to literally drop to the floor, look under the couch, and stand back up, because you never know where your child will be hiding. And you will be looking everywhere, in the cupboards, under the beds, etc., and they love hiding under the beds.
They do.
You can't see under the bed if you're standing up. So this is what you call a modified version of a burpee. So you're standing upright, drop down to the floor in the push-up position, look under the couch, and stand up again. Drop down and stand up. What you're actually doing, you're doing a cardiovascular exercise known as the burpee, but you're also doing a strength exercise for the upper body and the lower body, a modified push-up and a modified squat as you're standing up, mobilizing your joints and activating the muscles and burning fat. So we're multitasking by exercising and playing hide-and-seek.
Okay.
All right. Are you okay so far?
So far, so good.
Go to the floor and look under the studio desk.
I was doing exactly that, yes.
All right. The next one we're going to play is what we call cowboys and crooks. Okay?
Okay.
Cowboys and robbers. And you can imagine that you are pointing your hand at and hands in the position of a gun, and you are the cop, and you're chasing the robber. And I want you now to extend your arm forward, clasp your hands together, push them together. Now, what this is called is a vasomotor exercise. By placing your hands together, and then you form the position of a gun with your two index fingers, thumbs pointing up, I want you to push your palm heels together. What you're doing is pushing together as hard as you can. You're tightening your forearms, you're tightening your chest muscles and shoulder muscles, giving an upper body resistance workout. So it's a modified version of cowboys and crooks playing with your child. While they're running around, you're trying to point the gun and say, I've got you, I've got you.
Right.
But the exercise today is squeezing the palm heels together and elbows are straight in front of you, fingers pointing forward. How are you feeling?
Yeah, this is good. Intense.
Very good. Works the chest muscles and the shoulder muscles in a brilliant, brilliant way. And of course, the final exercise is final game is making shapes in the stars. It's a relaxing type of an exercise. You're laying on your back, looking up at the sky with your kids. And when you look up at the sky with your kids, I want you to imagine, you know, talking to them, relaxing, calming down, and here you're focusing on breathing. So I want you to focus on the 2-to-1 breathing method. So you're going to inhale for 2 seconds, then you're going to breathe out for 4 seconds. And you're teaching your child to learn that breath is about relaxing the body, very similar to when you're zikr. You get into a rhythm with your breathing, similar to running and walking. Your breathing dictates your pace and your endurance thereof. So that is what we're doing with this exercise, and teaching them that they need to relax as well. They're under pressure with school, they're under pressure with madrasa, they're under pressure with a lot of things in their lives.
Yes.
Take a time out, breathe and relax, and you do this for 60 seconds while you're looking at the stars and trying to make shapes in the stars, or identify different constellations, etc. And that is the workout for today.
Wonderful stuff. Jazakallah khair, Ronald. And I'm sure the listeners will be trying that out with their kids when possible. Now, getting into our discussion for today, it's on detox. And in simple terms, what is a detox and what does science tell us about detox?
All right. Medically speaking, a detox is cleansing the blood of toxins.
Right.
And toxins are anything in your body that causes damage or harm to your organs or to yourself. So that is what happens. Scientific proof has said that there are many entrepreneurs out there that have created these detox systems, from colonic irrigations to pills and powders and potions to medications to other methods of juicing and other, everything else that is claimed to detox your body because you're getting rid of all the nonsense in your body. But the body's got its own mechanisms that has been developed over centuries and upon centuries by which it detoxes. And medical science is now saying, where's the research regarding these, in inverted commas, detox mechanisms and tools that are out there that people are paying hundreds of thousands of rands for, and they dispel that it actually works.
Now, what are some of the weird ways in which people detox?
All right, some of the weird ways are, one, as I mentioned it earlier, it's colonic irrigation. That's when you literally go to someone and you're laying on your side and they put a hose pipe where they shouldn't put a hose pipe. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And they literally flush you out that way. And they say no. They're cleaning out the, in inverted commas, plaque that's on your fecal intestine, you know, closer to the sphincter and the glutes and the buttocks. And that is then being cleansed out. And you are feeling lighter. It'll improve your digestion. It'll improve a lot of things. But they don't realize that it's not doing that. What it's basically doing is, like, literally, it's like a hose pipe in a bucket. You're pouring water in and you pour it out again. But you are not tackling the small intestine or deeper into the body, and that is where the problem lies. And two is, you could damage that area of the body, and you don't want to do that. Other ways that people are doing it is they are following this cabbage diet, so they only eat cabbage, boiled cabbage for a month. That's all that they eat. Other people are eating kale or just juicing, and it's got its ways and means. Juicing has got it's got its place, but not every meal for every day for a month. That doesn't work. And the other way that people are trying to detox is that they are popping pills and powders and potions that allow them to go to the toilet so regularly, from, you know, literally, you know, passing urine to feces, and that is literally causing them to become dehydrated, lose electrolytes and salt, and put themselves at more risk than anything else from a health perspective.
Now, Ronald, can Ramadan be used, or fasting be used as a form of detox?
You know, Ramadan and fasting can be used as a form of literally conditioning the body, in the context that you are allowing the stomach size to decrease. Because remember, your stomach is like a balloon. So from a detox perspective, don't use it from that principle, because you will be eating in the morning and you'll be eating in the evenings before and after sunrise and sunset. So what happens is that when you do that, you still need to watch what you eat, because if you didn't overindulge on fried foods, etc., there's no way your body will be detoxed. However, if you are then focusing and saying to yourself, I'm not eating throughout the day, it's basically called intermittent fasting throughout the day. So you're fasting for 10 to 12 hours. What that means is that your stomach will be able to decrease in size. And that is more beneficial to your health and your waistline than anything else, because then you will begin to automatically eat smaller portions, have less calories, and have less to burn. So your body won't store that as fat.
Okay. And what are the indicators to know when a detox could be working?
You know, the indicators are, the indicators when they are there is a matter of that you feel more energetic, you do feel lighter, you find that, you know what, you if you had IBS or irritable bowel syndrome, or you're not regular on the loo, you are a lot more regular. And those are some of the indications. Some people look at it from a perspective of acne and pimples, but there could be other reasons and causes for that as well. But the biggest thing is you feel more energetic, and you literally find that your body is not storing onto a lot of the food that you are eating. But once you've gone on an inverted commas detox, which I personally don't advise, you do have to end up eating healthy anyway, because if you don't, you're going to put everything back on and you're going to create more toxins in the body. But remember, Brother Jazz, the body's got its own mechanisms of detox. You've got the lymphatic system that takes out of the blood. You've got the liver. You've got the kidneys that removes toxins and breaks them down, allowing you to excrete them. You've got the lungs that as you're breathing in toxins as well. Mm-hmm. The lungs filters the good oxygen out and gets rid of the toxins. So we have those systems in our bodies. Rather enhance those than anything else.
Okay. Jazakallah khair for those answers, Ronald. And I see, just as we're saying goodbye to you, a message coming on the SMS line says, Salams, Ronald, what do you think about using an elliptical strider when you have osteoporosis? Maybe you can tackle that another time, or you want to go for it now?
You know, what we can do, I definitely think we can tackle the osteoporosis topic tomorrow. Thank you very much, that listener, for that question. Because tomorrow we can discuss what exercises are beneficial if you have arthritis. Especially osteoarthritis, because that's very detrimental onto the joints. And you find that people that are severely suffering from it are on medications that are serious medications. So what do you then do, and how then do you accommodate exercise for that? But in a nutshell, the elliptical strider or the elliptical trainer is a great thing because you're not putting pressure on the joints as though you are with running, but it needs to be combined with strength training, and that we can tackle tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Jazakallah khair for everything today, Ronald. You have yourself a wonderful rest of the day, and we'll pick it up, inshallah, tomorrow. And with that, I think we've just lost Ronald. But assalamu alaikum to you, brother. Thanks again for your time. Coming up after this short break, we'll be joined by Ridwan Osman. He's an educational kinesiology expert, and he's going to be talking to us about acupressure. Stay tuned to the Power Half Hour on Radio Islam International. Right, it's time to talk to Ridwan Osman, educational kinesiology expert. And if you've got any questions regards to acupressure, please send them through as soon as possible so it can be asked on the show. You can do so SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 072-786-1548 or Twitter at EJAZ_K. It's time to greet Ridwan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ridwan.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Ijaz?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well, thank you.
Alhamdulillah, that's great. Now, you know, onto our topic of acupressure, Ridwan. Yeah. How does acupressure work?
Alright, acupressure is one of the, known as one of the Eastern modalities, right? So it comes basically, it falls under the Orient or towards more the Asian and the Eastern facilities or faculties that's used. What happens is when you put pressure onto a point, as your listeners know, each person has meridians that run through the body. So what happens is when you put pressure onto a point, you're either blocking the flow of energy or blocking the meridian, or you're opening up the meridian. The easiest way to explain it to you is if you take a hose pipe and you connect it to a tap, and then if you block it, you know, water wouldn't come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you release it, there's an opening, and then pressure comes out. So that's what acupressure basically does. You block the meridian and then you release it, allowing energy to flow through that meridian again, Ijaz.
Okay. Now, Ridwan, what does acupressure feel like?
Well, acupressure would feel like if you place your fingers on someone and you press on them. Now, there are different types or there are different strengths. It will feel like a very gentle massage. I don't know if any of your listeners, I'm sure some of them have, or maybe yourself, has been for a reflexology treatment,
mm-hmm.
where they press onto the soles of your feet, like a very gentle massage. That's one of the very gentle ways of doing it.
Right.
But the other ways are where they use force to try and break down knots or tight muscles in the area. So it feels like a pressing action. Something or someone will press it on you for you to feel what it's like.
Right. Now, a question coming through. My back is stiff when I get out of the bed in the morning. Will acupressure help?
Acupressure will definitely help, Ijaz, because what it does is normal stiffness has to do, as you know, stiffness means tightness. So there's tightness in the area, right?
Right.
So what acupressure does, very similar to massage, is that you'd loosen up that specific area. You'd work onto the back. If it's on your back, at the lower back, on towards the sides of the spine, what you basically do is just press into the area and then just move in a slight circular motion to the left or to the right. And the other thing you can do is if you just hold into the area and keep your finger there for about a minute and release, it should release the muscles in that area.
Okay, another one here. My shoulders are knotted up from sitting at the computer. Will acupressure help?
Yeah, that's a very common thing. Because computers are so used so often nowadays, and every industry has it, people tend to be affected by shoulder issues. What happens normally, you would know yourself being on radio and being at the chair all the time or being seated all the time, and I'm sure most of your listeners, normally when your neck starts paining or towards your shoulders, what people do is they just reach out with their fingers and they press it, or alternatively they put their hand over that area and they just like cup the shoulder with their palms and their fingers. That is also a certain type of acupressure, also a certain type of like a massage. What happens is then it will allow your shoulders to start releasing. So that would also assist. You can do that, Ijaz.
Okay. Now, Ridwan, is acupressure better than stretching exercises to warm up for physical exercise?
Ijaz, when it comes to physical exercise, you must remember acupressure has a smaller area to work with. It's very isolated. It zones in like a laser. All right. So you're working on a very specific trigger point or very specific pressure point, whereas with stretching, you're elongating the entire muscle. So when it comes to warming up practice, you'll notice when the guys play soccer, they shake their legs out, but then they also use their hands to shake the muscles to get flow going. So stretching just is definitely better in terms of if you need to stretch a large area, but if you have pain in your, for example, on your knees, or you have pain on your thighs that you want to go into and press into that, then acupressure generally helps more. But in that case, for exercise warm-ups, stretching is much better than that, Ijaz.
Okay. To go on to the next one, my father is bedridden and his back is tense and painful. Can this self-administered system be adapted to use in the bed?
100%. The one amazing thing, or the thing about acupressure is that you use your hands, you might even use feet, you can use the elbow. So you can use any of those parts that are able to apply pressure on it. Specifically about the person that you're talking, acupressure will definitely help. But knowing someone that's bedridden, if someone is in bed all the time, more than acupressure would be required. You can use acupressure, but also remember that if someone is not moving at all, there are other conditions that will happen, like bed sores and staying on a place for too long, the muscles tighten up. So firstly, you move the person around all the time from left to right. They normally say they recommend turning the person every 2 to 3 hours onto the different side. So if they're lying on the right, you move them to the center. If they're lying on the center on their back, then you turn them to the other side. That also allows flow of chi or flow of energy to go through the meridians and allow blood to flow through. But also, also at the same time, you can definitely use acupressure on the back or on those areas to allow those muscles to relax.
Okay. Next one, when I spend too much time in the car, my neck and shoulders spasm and my back starts to hurt. Is there something I can do?
Yes, you can. You can get someone to press in those areas, your lower areas. If you place your hands on your hips and with your fingers touching your back, Ijaz, what happens is you'll notice that you'll be able to grab quite a bit off your lower back. That will also allow your body to release the pressure. But as we discussed also earlier on, it's very similar to people who are sitting in front of computers where your neck also gets stiff. So you can just cup your hand over your shoulder and use your fingers to hold it down or press it down and then release. And that will allow blood to go into the area or flow into the area and also get the muscles to relax.
Another one here, what can acupressure do for shoulder tendonitis? Is there something I can do?
Yes, specifically for shoulder tendonitis, if you look in the gap of the shoulders between your shoulder, the height of your shoulder going down to your arm, you find there's a gap in that area. What you can do is you press into the area to allow the muscles to start relaxing. Or you just allow flow to take place blood to move into the area. Oxygenation takes place when you do that. And as soon as the muscle starts relaxing, you should feel some relief in that.
Okay. Ridwan, how long does it take to do the entire acupressure works routine?
It's a very specific modality. So depending what people are coming in for, it can take up to an hour. But it also is very dependent because some areas that you press into, you might have to hold that area for about 5 minutes and then release for the flow to take place. Some places like the fingers or the palms of your hand, if you're placing pressure on those areas, it might not have to be for that long. So it can take up to an hour, but it can also be for half an hour, depending what is comfortable for the person that's getting the treatment.
Okay. Now, Ridwan, a lot of our listeners we see in terms of the discussions we have with Ronald, knee injuries and knee pain is one that we get lots of queries for.
Mm-hmm.
Is there maybe possibly you can give us some short knee pain relieving acupressure points that people can do by themselves at home?
Yes, I can. While sitting, as you're sitting at the moment, for all your listeners that are also sitting, you know, on your knees, just below the front of the thigh, you'll notice there's like two indentations on the right and on the left.
Yeah.
And slightly above that, there's a soft portion. That's where the muscle actually comes to.
Right.
So what can be done is you can hold the right side of the muscle and the left side of the muscle of the knee where the gap is. And you hold it for about 5 minutes, right? That's above the knee. And then at the bottom of the knee, just below the knee, before where the foot, the knee comes to join in with the shin.
Mm.
At the bottom.
The stumples.
That's it. You'll find two other gaps there. So you have two on top, two at the bottom. So you'd hold it like how you would hold, like if you're holding a cup around or a glass when you're drinking water. You know, your hand has that shape.
Mm-hmm.
So you just place your hand on the top. You hold it for about 5 to 10 minutes to feel the release. And then you move. After you've done the top, then you hold it 5 minutes at the bottom where those two indentations are. It will also release. If it doesn't release, then you hold it for slightly longer. The one nice thing about it also is that you can alternate with heat and cold. You can also put something hot over it or something cold. Place your fingers in there, remove them. And you can continue with that treatment. That should assist with knee pain.
Okay. Ridwan, just a sensation that listeners should be looking for in terms of, is there like a throbbing or you feel like sort of your pulse on those points where you press after a while?
Yes. It is possible that you'll feel a pulse in those areas, but also what you might feel is you might feel pain in that area that you didn't know you had. Sometimes you press into it and then you'll feel pain and you'll think, wow, what happened here? How did this happen?
Yeah.
It is possible also for the amount of pressure that you use that after you do the acupressure treatment, when you release it, they might feel a little bit more pain. But the reason for that pain is because the muscle has been tight for so long that it's gone into a spasm. And now because it's releasing, you feel the sensations that are coming back into that area. So you might feel a bit of tenderness, like if you touch it, it might be a little tender to the touch, but the more often you do it, the more it would release and the less the pain would be. Eventually it will be gone completely.
Wonderful stuff. Jazakallah khair. Ridwan Osman, education and kinesiology expert there, explaining to us all things acupressure. We thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Ridwan. You have yourself a wonderful day, sir.
Jazakallah. You too, Ijaz.
All right, then.
Thank you to your listeners. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, there you learn some stuff on acupressure. And yeah, lots of our listeners have issues with their knees, like me. So it's cool when you get different means of treating them, isn't it? It's come to the end of the Power Half Hour for today. Jazakallah khair for spending the last half an hour or so, just under half an hour with us. We hope that it's been beneficial. And I hope that parents will be doing that workout with their kids as explained by Ronald earlier on. So from myself, Ijaz Khan and Ziad, it is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.